with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink, and a man who's played so much Cluedo, he prefers to be known as Colonel Mustard in the drawing room with the candlestick, a.k.a. Mark Searby. Hello.
Hello. Hello. He was always the coolest character in Cluedo.
He was, wasn't he?
Colonel Mustard.
Colonel, everyone wants to be Colonel Mustard.
Well, I thought so. Yeah, absolutely.
But why a candlestick? You know, of all the weapons, it was always a candlestick. You always think, but there's a gun and there's a, you know, a dagger. No, let's use a candlestick.
This is such an important part of the show here that you're digging up now, you know. Well, why was it always... I mean, it's a good point. You know, hey, actually, do you know what? It's interesting you brought that up, actually, because, you know, they are making a film version of Cluedo.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? That's the bottom of the barrel being scraped.
It is a bit, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, look, we've seen film adaptations of games before.
Mousetrap?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yes, I guess it does. Yeah, I mean, not
seen
many
Kaplunk,
of them.
The movie.
We're waiting for that.
Buckaroo.
You know, so I don't know what to expect from it. You know, who knows? Mm. It might not eventually go ahead. But yeah, I saw the news the other week. I was thinking, Cluedo, really?
It could be like an interactive film where...
Oh, like what they put
DVD,
on Netflix.
You know,
not on Netflix. Do the interactive ones now, don't they?
You can choose the outcome. And
yeah, exactly. That's an interesting idea.
That would be good. That'd be good.
Hmm.
Well, it might be. It might also be terrible, but
it might. Yeah,
we'll find out, I guess.
Exactly. Well, if they get it made, we'll find out. That's the thing.
And you can be Colonel Mustard.
Well, yeah, hopefully so. But maybe I'll be Miss Scarlet.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Depends if they catch you on the weekends.
Exactly. That's the thing, you know. Yes, I do look good in red, so there we go. Yeah.
Anyway, we have digressed very early on, as always, really. But murder mysteries feels like a vibe.
Does feel like a vibe, absolutely. Certainly for the first film we've got to review this week. So it's called Vengeance. It is about a writer and podcaster from New York City who attempts to solve the murder of a girl he hooked up with. He travels to Texas to investigate the circumstances of her death and what happened to her.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, this could be you. You're a writer. You're a podcaster.
Yes.
You're also a radio presenter as well, and a stand-up comedian. So,
Friends in Texas. It's basically the truth, isn't it?
It's almost your life. And the thing as well is this movie is written and directed by BJ Novak, who I think most people will know as Ryan from the American remake of The Office.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Excellent.
Now
I worked in Office once, yeah.
See, there you go. It's getting closer. Now, the thing with Novak is that he's been making a name for himself, not just in front of the camera, because he's appeared in The Office and The Mindy Project and a few other American sitcoms very well. But he also wrote several episodes of The Office and some of the American sitcoms he starred in. So I think those experiences have put him in good stead for this feature film directorial debut, because this is an excellent piece of work.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a little bit dangerous putting yourself in the lead role, but that's what BJ Novak has done. So he plays the lead character, Ben Manilowitz.
That's a
guy who...
bit of a mouthful.
It is, yeah. So when we first meet him, he's with his friend to party, discussing their techniques on girls, how they pick up girls, how they pick up women. And the way that they rapid fire through that dialogue, you think their intelligence is really good, you know, second to none, basically. He's the type of wannabe playboy you actively hate, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you think, okay, yeah, cool. And then as it continues, you think, I can't stand this guy. Then he's thrust into this crime-solving world in a completely different American state, and that changes him, basically. So what BJ Novak has written here and directed and obviously stars in as well is that it is partially about change and how those who only really know the big city life don't understand middle America. However, Ben adapts to it and he realizes these are not bad people. You know, the girl's family are not bad people ultimately, even though when he first meets them, he thinks these are completely crazy. And what happens is that they help him get his crime podcast off the ground because he's looking to solve the death of this woman who he sort of had a relationship with. Like, from his angle, it was kind of like, eh, whatever. From her angle, it was much more, I don't want to say serious, but let's say in depth, I think is the best way of describing it. So this film is filled with dark humor. It's got several silly yet humorous fish out of water moments for Ben. You know, this is a guy who's bringing his big city mentality and intelligence to an area that doesn't take kindly to these types of people, telling them how they should live their lives and, you know, the wonders of the big city when they've just lived out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But Ben's got a way about him and he kind of wins them over, but not just them. He wins us over as well. As I said, you know, a minute ago, when you first meet him, he's not a nice guy. He's not the type of guy who you would probably be friends with. You cross the road to actually avoid the man. But then you realize actually he's understanding this, you know, the middle America vibe that's going on. And he finally starts to become friends with the family and they start to help him. And, you know, he starts to realize that actually these people need my help as well. So he's the one that can do it. So, you know, it's all going off. It's all changes going on.
Yeah.
Now, the podcast angle is brilliantly riffing on all the true crime podcasts that are out there nowadays. I mean, even down to the meeting that they take as to how they can exploit additional characters in it and how they can elongate the series after it goes viral. It's all very zeitgeisty. You know, I think that's the beauty of what Novak has done here, is that he's hitting the nail right on the head of our times of listening to podcasts and how we consume media products right now, in that we have to basically binge them, and how the companies behind them are going, no, we need more. We need to keep on top of this. We need to be number one all the time. So BJ Novak is absolutely hitting the nail on the head with what he's saying here with the podcast angle, basically.
Well, you know what that's like, you know, gotta have your content.
Exactly. You've got to have your content. As much as we want to say it's a film, it's a movie, nowadays it's being referred to as content, unfortunately. So he's nailing it here, really. And, you know, he's also saying that no matter who you are or where you live, you've got an interesting story to tell. And I think that's a rather delightful message to have in this film, because that's not what you expect in a murder mystery film at all. I think this is a film that works on so many levels. You know, as I said, true crime podcasting, people changing when they move out of state and go elsewhere, understanding the ways of other people, riffing on podcasts, all of these things. It works on so many levels. I really enjoyed this. I do you know what? I absolutely loved it, actually. I thought it was wonderful. I really did. And BJ Novak, even though I know he was great in The Office and the Mindy Project, I know he was great in those, he's really good in this. Really good.
Nice. So Vengeance, do you think was the actual murder mystery well written and
do you know what it is?
Twisty.
It is, yeah. Yes. Twisty is the right word. Without giving too much away, yes, it is twisty. And I like that it kept throwing up those as well. So while you're dealing with, you know, Ben trying to understand what it's like living in Texas and trying to understand these people who he has nothing in common with, you also have this other story going on about how he's trying to find what's happened to them. And he's digging through archives and through old photos, and all of a sudden he's discovering this and that, and then it's leading him elsewhere. And you're like, this is really interesting, because, as I said, it's working on a few different levels here.
Brilliant. So this is out where?
So Vengeance is in cinemas.
In cinemas. We'll see it old school style on the big screen.
Indeed, absolutely. Take a notepad and pen as well, and see if you can work out what happened to Ben's love interest, shall we say. Write it down.
And then go home and then record a podcast about it.
something. What you're saying is basically go Inception levels deep on a film. Yeah. So record a podcast about a true crime movie podcast. Film as well. Hang on, I'm getting confused.
We're
doing it. Well.
I'm like, I'm getting, so, oh, we're in it. This is it.
We're too far down the rabbit hole now.
Excellent. So Vengeance sounds like good fun. Cinemas?
Cinemas, absolutely.
What else you got for us, Mark?
So something much more serious now. So we've got a film called Big Boys Don't Cry. This is a film that's based on real events that were to a gentleman called Paul Connolly, who grew up through his childhood years in a children's home in Hornchurch, obviously just down the road there. Paul wrote it into a book several years ago. It's now been adapted into a movie. So basically the story is about Paul recalls his harrowing childhood growing up in a children's home following a police investigation into his boyhood friend's suicide. As Paul struggles to build a relationship with Anthea when they're in their 20s, 30s, he's forced to confront those responsible for his shattered childhood and the death of his friend.
Oh, okay.
So, wow. So as I said, this is an adaptation of Paul's book, which is absolutely based on his life. I've not read the book, I've got to be honest, so I can only go with what is on screen as to Paul's life being shown that way. So we see the early years of Paul's life, you know, while he's growing up in the home, are shown in a very tough yet very real way. The film, now this is interesting here, the film actually doesn't show the molestation, which I you know, I think is a good thing because you can pick it up in your own mind the way that the film plays it out to the point of you know what's happening. Even if you haven't read the book, you can kind of go, okay, I understand that. So I think not showing it is actually a bigger plus in the film than showing
it. To watch. So
it is a, yeah, you're right. It's a difficult thing to put on screen. It's a difficult thing for us to watch as well. But when you do it in such a way like this film has done, you know, the viewer's mind fills in the blanks anyway. That's the thing. So saving the viewer from actually seeing the horrific acts, I think, is actually a really big plus. That's not to say that the rest of the film is an easy watch, though, because it isn't. But it was never meant to be. That's the thing. I do think that the younger years of Paul's life are the best parts of the film because it just feels so real. And also Mitchell Norman, I've got to mention Mitchell Norman, who plays the young Paul, is excellent. He's really good in this. Really good. Hopefully we see more of the young lad because he's very good in this. But also, on top of that, I have to say that Michael Socha, who plays adult Paul, is very good as well. I mean, I've always thought that Michael Socha is an excellent actor who doesn't get enough credit anyway. You know, I thought he was great in This Is England. I've seen him in a couple of horror movies as well. He's very good in that. He's a very understated British actor. So I've got a lot of time for him. And in this, he gives a very tender performance, which is difficult considering we meet the older Paul. When we meet the older Paul, he's a bouncer at a nightclub and he's involved with some very shady people. Yet you still side with him. And I do think that's down to Michael Socha making this character a fully realized person, demons and all. You know, he's struggling with these demons still to this day. And I think you can buy into that because of this performance. That's the good thing about it. I was really impressed. So, you know, the two people playing Paul Connolly here are well worth seeing the movie for just those two performances. I think my only disappointment with the film is that during adult Paul's life story section of the movie, basically, there's bits about him being involved with some Cockney gangsters, which I felt was a little bit cliched, a little bit too ripped from a straight to DVD Brit gangster flick. It felt a little bit generic, and I thought it took away from the impact of Paul's own story that was being told, you know, the mental side of things that Paul was dealing with. I understand why it's in there because Paul was involved in with some shady people. But I was just kind of like, this it's almost going. Yeah, it's almost going into that Cockney gangster film where everybody's just going to start swearing and shooting people. I'm like, no, that's not what this movie should be about. A little bit, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. So it doesn't go full Guy Ritchie. Okay, it doesn't go full like that, but it feels like it's veering towards there. Fortunately, it does pull it back, which is good. But you know, that's the bit of disappointment for me. That's the bit of disappointment. But you've got a film that's hitting very hard and some very heavy notes, whether it's about what happened to Paul when he was a kid, or the fact that what he's struggling with as an adult and still trying to understand, he's trying to build this relationship as well. Those are the parts in the film that are very good. As I said, tough viewing, very tough viewing, but it is well put together. And yeah, Mitchell Norman, Michael Socha, both of them great in the lead roles here. Really impressed with it. Tough movie, but I came away going, you know what? I'm pleased I saw that. And it's a really well put together story. And, you know, all the best to Paul Connolly for not only writing a book, but then getting this on the big screen and sort of having to relive it again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, all based on a true story, it must be such a hard thing to do, but a really important thing to share with people when a story get out there.
It is, and I guess at some level it's a cathartic experience for Paul. You know, the fact that he's going through it. He's written the book, and now he's managed to get it put on the big screen, which is fantastic. And maybe now it's a little bit easier on him. Hopefully it's a little bit easier on him. But coming out of this, I was like, wow, that's a story and a half. And, you know, we've heard these stories many times. We've seen them in newspapers. We've seen exposés of them all. But when it is local, I think it hits a bit harder. And this one really hit hard. And I, as I said, I came away going, great film, really well put together, some excellent acting in there.
Brilliant. And if you do want to find out a bit more about Paul's story, I understand he's been on the arts program here on Phoenix FM. Having the chat all about the book when he wrote it. So we can listen to that if you go to phoenixfm.com, put in his name, and I dare say it will come up.
Wow. Grand. I mean, fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah.
So Big Boys Don't Cry, the film is out.
It's been in cinemas. It's on DVD. It's also on digital download as well. So, you know, you can catch it in most places basically now. So yes, it's all around.
All around, all over the place. Exit. Where was you got for us, Mark?
So change of tack. Let's lighten the mood, shall we?
Yes.
And let's do a movie called, and this is the title, okay? This is the title. Catherine Called Birdie. Catherine Called Birdie.
Cool. Okay. I'm struggling to get any meaning from that, really.
I know. Here's the idea. Okay. So it's about 14-year-old Catherine, aka Birdie, who tries to navigate her life through medieval England and avoid potential suitors her father has in mind.
Okay. Right,
so you can see why it's now Catherine Called Birdie. She's Catherine, but actually she's called Birdie.
She's called Birdie. Yeah, I like it. Nice.
So this is the new film from Lena Dunham, who I think some people might know from the TV show Girls, you know, the American TV show Girls.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a new film from her. And she's been expanding into directing for a little bit. She's done a couple of other films. And she's taken her own type of humour, you know, the style that was popular in Girls, and is moving it into films. And this movie has a lot of the hallmarks of Girls, just without a lot of the sexual energy or raunchiness, shall we say.
Yeah.
Well, just about, because this film is a coming-of-age tale that actually does deal with that in places. And I think it could only deal with that because it is set in medieval times when things were very different, shall we say.
Yes.
However, here's the thing with this movie. It brings that time period into the modern aesthetic with characters and their dialogue. So imagine something like Booksmart or Superbad or even American Pie, but set during medieval times. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying a bit better.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it certainly gives Lena Dunham and her cast a lot of room to play with time period settings and also modern day dialogue. Birdie, Catherine, Birdie. We'll go with Birdie.
We'll go Birdie. Okay?
We'll go with Birdie. She's a very whip-sharp woman. She's got a very satirical tongue. You know, the way that we watch her fend off older suitors is both scathing and absolutely hilarious. The way that she wanders around the castle, discovering things, but in her own unique way, a way that isn't normally done in that setting as well. So it's kind of this culture clash going on, as well as a coming of age comedy. And I do say comedy because there are a lot of funny moments, but I think it relies more on satire and sarcasm rather than big belly laughs. Yeah. And I think it works that. I think it works well, because if you're into that type of humour, then there's a lot to like here. Birdie is a very forthright young woman, and her acid type dialogue really doesn't know any bounds. I mean, you know, I think that's all thanks to the way that Bella Ramsey, who plays Catherine Birdie, delivers it. Basically, it's very rapid fire. I mean, she's on screen for almost 90% of the film, and yet you never tire of her. You kind of almost want to see more, because you want to know what her exploits are going to be. I mean, it's a performance filled with energy and wit and determination and sarcasm and humor and a little bit of romance as well in there. And, you know, you're talking about somebody here who's, as I said, on screen for a long time. So to be able to give that type of energy all the way through is really impressive. But then, you know, I could say the same about the entire film, really. It's got a lot of energy to it. It won't be for everybody because of how different it looks and feels compared to other coming-of-age films. However, that energy in this film, we've only seen that in recent years in the coming of age movies. You know, I think I go back to Booksmart quite a lot because that was a really good movie.
Yeah. I picked up that kind of vibe from the trailer from it.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of
it has. And angle. it's no problem going for that sort of angle. No problem going for that type of audience, because Booksmart is very good.
Yeah.
You know, we're big fans of that movie. So more like that. Yes, please. Thank you. So I like the fact that this is a movie that is set in medieval times, but it feels very modern day, and it lets teenagers be themselves. It lets them go wild without fear of alienating the audience. You know, that's what this film is doing, basically. It's really sharp filmmaking from Lena Dunham.
Clever.
Really sharp.
Stuff. Yeah. So, seeing the trailer, this has got some great little gags in there. I was cracking up just watching about a minute and a half. So is it the sort of film that you got little one-liners throughout the thing?
I mean, there's one-liners, there's ongoing jokes. It's just non-stop. That's the great thing about it. And it is a really good cast as well. You know, Bella Ramsey's great. Andrew Scott's great as her dad. You've got to look out for a few other familiar faces in there as well. It's just cast really well, and not with huge names either, but with names that lend themselves to the character that they're playing. That's the good thing about it.
Yeah, nice. So Catherine called Birdie. It will educate you a little on medieval life, I guess.
Listen, it looks medieval. Whether it will educate you on medieval life, maybe not. Maybe, well, a little bit, obviously, about arranged marriage, I guess, a little bit back in medieval times, but not...
Yeah.
Let's not take it as gospel, shall we?
Oh, okay. I thought this is a true story, and we're going to learn something from it. Real life documentary. No.
No, it's not quite. It's not quite that.
But where can we watch it? Where's it at?
So Catherine Called Birdie is now streaming exclusively on Prime Video.
Excellent. Lovely. What have you got for us next week, Mark?
Well, obviously, you know, we're slowly coming up to Halloween, so we're going to have to start talking about... favourite time of the year. So we're going to have to start talking about horror movies. Good news, there is a new Dario Argento movie called Dark Glasses. Argento is one of the leading voices in the giallo horror subgenre. If you don't know what that means, I'll explain it next week. So Dario Argento, after 10 years, he hasn't made a film in 10 years. Is back. He's made a film called Dark Glasses. And then we're also going to be talking, we're going to lighten the mood as well. We're also going to be talking about an animated movie called DC League of Super Pets. That's right. The DC superheroes like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman have got their own pets.
Okay. This sounds good. Yeah. Why have Spider-Man? You can just have a spider and Batman.
Exactly. There you go. You see, you see, it conjures up all sorts of things. But I'm not saying that Batman's got bats.
Oh,
he hasn't.
Oh, no. Oh.
It's something else. I'll tell you more.
No
next
spoilers.
Week.
We'll find out.
No
next
spoilers.
Week.
No, next week. Next week. You'll have to tune in next week to find out which superhero has what animal.
Oh, now that sounds like a game, right?
It does a bit, doesn't it? Yeah. It does, yeah.
Who's got what?
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Thanks for listening to Film Reviews and Movie News. We've been doing this little podcast for years now. Mark has watched and expertly reviewed hundreds of films, and I've made hundreds of terrible jokes. They're all available to listen to again if you subscribe to the Film Reviews and Movie News podcast. It's freely available wherever you get your podcasts from, or you can find all the latest episodes and everything else I do online at stuartpink.com.